Chapter 6 Earth and Mars, and In Between. None of us who had set foot in Mars was allowed to return to Earth. The logic was clear. Until we knew why every one of my generation, and younger, simultaneously came down with the Martian lung crap, there was no telling what other strange bugs we might harbor. So we're all Typhoid Marys, until proven otherwise. We could live in Earth orbit, though, inside a quarantined satellite, Little Mars. I commuted back and forth, Little Mars to Mars, on the 1G shuttle, which, without spending months in free fall, took between 2 and 5 days. I was happier in Mars, and would have settled down there if the corporation would have left me alone. See my kids often enough for them to remember my face. In Little Mars, I could don a virtual reality avatar and electronically walk around on Earth without infecting anyone. Usually, my avatar looked like a 12-year-old girl in shiny white tights who staggered a lot and ran into things, with my face and voice, kind of. When I visited Starhope, though, the spaceship factory, for some reason they gave me a male avatar. 6 feet tall, broad-shouldered, glossy black. Still clumsy, and a little dangerous to be around. It was even more clumsy than the girlish avatar I was used to, because everything I did and said went through a censoring delay, in case I inadvertently said, "Hey, how are those warships coming along? The ones we're going to use against the others?" It was a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the mostly symbolic completion of Ad Astra, the ship we were eventually going to take to Wolf 25. All that was really complete, though, was the habitat, the living and the working quarters for the crew of 7 humans and 2 Martians. The ship itself was being built out in space, attached to the huge ice ball that would provide enough reaction mass to go 20-some light-years and back. A miniature version of it was already well past the Oort cloud, the theoretical edge of the solar system. It had more Spartan quarters and the modest goal of going 1/100 of a light-year and back without exploding or otherwise wasting its test pilot. Our ship would be reasonably comfortable, bigger than the John Carter, which had taken 27 of us on an 8-month journey to Mars. We'd been weightless then, though. On our trip to the presumed home of the others, we would be traveling at 1G acceleration once the ship got up to speed, then turn around at the midway point and decelerate at the same rate. Scattered among the merely real humans at the ceremony were 8 avatars identical to mine. I guess standard issue at Starhope. One of them was Paul, and 2 would be Moonboy and Merrill, the other 2 xenologists who were going with us. Maybe 3 of the others were the corporation/UN team, who couldn't be in Little Mars, no place to hide, but might have been in orbit somewhere. Or just in the next room, for that matter, their identities hidden. We never met face to face, but we had exchanged letters. Nice enough people, but a married threesome. 2 men and a woman seemed odd to me. 1 man is hard enough to handle. I missed some of the oratory. It's easy to fall into a drowse when you're standing motionless in VR. If I missed something important, I could trivo it back. Our mission was so vague, I would be hard-pressed to write a speech about it more than 1 minute or 2 long, or shorter than a book. Go to the planet we think the other went to, just to demonstrate that we could. Then react to whatever they do. If whatever they do includes vaporizing us, which doesn't seem unlikely, then the fact that we didn't try to harm them first will have been our default mission. Aren't you sorry you killed us? As soon as the ceremony was over, they started taking the habitat apart. It broke down into modules small enough to be lifted by the space elevator. Once the habitat was delivered, Starhope would settle down into what would be its regular business for the next 40 years, building warships. It was a really stupid idea, since the others had already demonstrated how easy it would be for them to destroy the Earth. Why aggravate them? Of course, the warship fleet's actual function was more about keeping the peace on Earth than carrying war into space. It gave the illusion that something was being done. We weren't just a passive target. It also provided employment for a large fraction of the Earth's population, who might otherwise be fighting each other. The fleet was never mentioned in any broadcast medium, People used euphemisms like space industrialization to keep the armament project secret from the others. I supposed it could work if the others weren't listening too hard or were abysmally stupid. It was good to get out of VR and shower and change. When I was finished, there was a message from Paul saying he was down in the galley with fresh coffee and news. The coffee was a new batch from Jamaica. He let me take one sip and gave me the news. The Earth Triad was coming up to get to know us, ahead of schedule. "No idea why," he said. "Maybe Earth is too exciting." "Probably just scheduling. Once they start shipping up the pieces of Ad Astra, it's going to be hard to find a seat on the elevator." But it was odd.